Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always good.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking earlier, and even before that, we feel that we're starting a new series. And true. I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but the last, I don't know how many years you'd have to put it at, but over the last few years, it's become pretty apparent that people have wandered away from the foundations of Christianity.
Yeah.
There's a great Greek word that some of you may know, kerygma, which is the nucleus of the faith. It's the basics of the faith.
Right.
And the apostles preached it, and everything that came after that was built on that. And, you know, in combination with the word of scripture and Christian traditions that went on and Christian doctrines that were developed.
Right.
We had this fantastic, I don't know what you want to call it, foundation of what it was to be Christian.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of eroded a little bit.
And, to say the least.
And certainly in Western society.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in the last week and a half with all this news coming out of New York State and the and I think those of you that are listening that are Catholic may know that Governor Cuomo, who not only signed this unlimited abortion bill but promoted it, celebrated it, had the top of the Freedom Tower in Manhattan lit pink to celebrate. The legislature in New York was all clapping, and I mean, you can look this up on YouTube, so you know that we're not making this up. The legislature burst out into applause, and it was like a party atmosphere that this murder bill had been passed.
Yeah.
And the governor signed it immediately. And a week before that, he had been on CNN talking to the host about how important his Catholic faith is to him. And so people have been waiting. Yeah. People have been waiting to see if there's going to be some consequence, if this is going to be used as maybe an opportunity to talk about not only, you know, Catholic teaching particularly, but Christian teaching in general, that this is not how you behave if you're Christian or your Catholic faith is so important to you.
Right.
And this has kind of gotten, and I think the Holy Spirit has been telling us for a while that we were supposed to start addressing some of these issues, but when we got through the Advent and the Christmas season and all this other stuff, and we did these other lessons, which they're good. And we, as you know, we love doing Bible study, but, and we're going to continue to do Bible study, but we're going to probably, we're going to start tonight with a couple of reasons of what happened, a couple of things that happen when you move off of the center.
It's not just our nation, our whole cultural, if you look around the world, is engulfed in what, you know, you can basically say is Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, there's a culture of death that has been there for a long time. Pope John Paul II addressed this a lot in his papacy back in the 70s and 80s, or mostly the 80s. It's not something that's new, because believers in Jesus Christ and followers of God have had to deal with this throughout the centuries.
Yes.
What's different is the amount of communication that we have to spread and promulgate ideas and sway people's opinions. And the, you know, when people don't know really what is truth anymore. Well, I can ask something, you know, I can ask one of my devices a question and it'll give me an answer. Now, you don't know where the answer is coming from. You don't know who gave that answer. So, you know, if it's scientific, it's probably true. But on issues of faith and morality, the church has to stand on the doctrine and on the basis of the revelation that God has given to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We have to stand on the word of God. And if we don't, then our whole structure, our whole fabric of our culture is going to dissipate. And it's, because there's no truth. Everything is relative at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not a truth, if there's not an eternal truth, then anybody can do whatever they want.
Yes.
And there's no consequence for it.
Yes.
And if there's not a God, and the thing is, if there's not a God, then none of this matters. But if there is a God, then there's a great consequence.
Yes.
Satan is the best deceiver that mankind has ever known.
Mm-hmm.
He is. There's one thing about somebody who lies. If they're really good at it, they can get away with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If they're bad at it, they get caught.
Yeah.
And Satan is an excellent liar.
He's good at it.
He's excellent.
He started with Eve.
Yeah. And he's still going strong. And if you think you're going to outsmart him, you're wrong.
You're a guaranteed casualty.
Exactly. when Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, he quoted the word of God. He quoted Deuteronomy
3 times.
Yeah. And that's what you have to do with Satan.
Yes.
You have to quote the word of God. You have to identify what's happening and take authority in the name of Jesus, because all power and all authority has been given to him.
Yes.
And as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, as baptized Christians, we need to understand that. And we need to approach what's happening in our culture, not from a physical standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we're not fighting against flesh and blood.
Mm.
We're fighting against principalities
and powers.
Powers that are spiritual. And if we don't understand that, we're just going to get swept away in this fight.
And that's an enormously important passage of scripture.
Yeah.
And there's many well-meaning Christians that approach this politically.
Yeah.
You know, try to make a strategy to fight it.
Right.
And we're going to get to that later too. But this is the ultimate example of spiritual warfare.
It's blatantly in our faces right now.
It's blatant. That's right. And it's in the churches. And it's not just in the culture. You can't just say, oh, you know, it's the immoral entertainment industry.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And kids are learning it in school.
Yeah.
And if you have little kids in school, you got to ask them what they're learning, because a lot of weird stuff now is being taught.
A lot of weird stuff.
And if the parents oppose it, they're the ones that are being narrow-minded and bigots and homophobes and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it still gets down to, and we've talked about this before, there's always going to be a remnant that's going to stay with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is never without witnesses in the world.
Right.
And even if the whole world goes bad, which it's on the way, there's always going to be a remnant that's going to be protecting the truth.
Yeah, like what Elijah was saying. Oh,
yes.
Lord, you know, with the prophets of Baal.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
He's like, relax, there's still, what's 7,000
that
haven't bent the knee, so.
Out of 3 million Israelites, there were only 7,000.
Yeah.
Now, that's a pretty small percentage. You figured it out once, and
yeah.
I forgot what it is. But it shows you it's a small group, but God never works with millions of people at a time. He works with small groups at a time. You know, Gideon's army of 300 defeated, you know, tens of thousands of Midianites. And, you know, 12 apostles changed the whole world. And, you know, I mean, you can add Paul to that too, and I guess make it 13. But
it's 0.002% of the population.
Wow. Yeah. And we hopefully are not at that bad yet, but you hit the nail on the head. Is when you get away from God's word as a measure of what's true and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
if you don't have that as the foundation, you'll fall for anything.
Exactly.
And as Hank Hanegraaff always says, you have to be so familiar with the truth that when you hear a counterfeit, you know it immediately.
Yeah.
And I have to say, and I don't know if you've had this experience, Stephen, but I've been retired for a year, so I've had a lot of time to see things that are on Christian TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I probably have 3 or 4 Christian stations on my cable.
Uh-huh.
90% of the programming is absolute nonsense. And I don't mind saying that because I like to think that I'm in the remnant. And 90% of these programs are health and wealth, gospel, word mm-hmm. of faith kind of movements, or even worse, well, you know, who are we to say that this and who are we to say about that? And after you watch that for about 10 minutes, you say, I don't watch this anymore.
Yeah.
And it's really getting bad.
Well, as you say that, I think about when Jesus was, this is in John chapter 6, when Jesus was telling the crowd and his disciples about the bread of life discourse.
Yes.
And unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you.
Yes.
And they're like, surely he's mad. He's out of his mind.
Yeah.
And everybody left.
Yeah.
And what does Jesus do? Does he go, wait a minute. Let's negotiate this. Maybe we should put this up to a vote. What do you guys think I should say?
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
No.
He asked his 12 disciples, are you guys going to go too?
Mm-hmm.
And what does Peter say?
So where would we go?
You have the words of
eternal life.
You have the words of everlasting life. Exactly. Yeah. So in our culture today, a lot of people think that because you're in the crowd or you have a lot of people that agree with you, that you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is not necessarily the definition of truth.
Yes.
And, you know, we have to remember that Jesus hung upon the cross with very few followers still there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't sway from what he came to do.
Yes.
And the gospel message, following the gospel and following Jesus Christ, is a lifelong marathon.
Yes.
And many times within Christianity, we think, okay, now we've gone to this point. Oh, we can relax. We can rest. Well, you might be able to rest for a moment,
yeah.
But the devil is always out there waiting to devour you once again.
Yes.
And unless Christians are disciplined and conditioned to understand that, we will not make a difference at all.
Yes. Well, that's incredibly powerful what you just said, because a lot of the thinking now on Christian TV is, there's a 100-yard dash, and once you've done it, then you've got it made.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have a famous Christian preacher who says, well, Christians don't really have to follow the Ten Commandments because that's Old Testament teaching. And we're past that now because we're sons and daughters of God, so we don't have to worry about that.
You still can't kill anybody.
You still can't kill anybody. You still can't commit adultery. And you still can't worship idols. And you still can't.
You should honor your mother and father.
That's right. You should still keep holy the Sabbath day.
You shouldn't covet your neighbor.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is the kind of talk that's on TV. And you have a very well-known Christian preacher who's on every Christian network who doesn't believe in the Trinity. But
wow,
people love the guy. And he's a great preacher. He's very entertaining. He doesn't believe in the Trinity. And so I always think it's ironic when I see this guy on TBN, which is the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I think I'm concerned that these people, these preachers and these movements have a lot of money
mm-hmm.
based on a passage we're going to read in a minute. So they have a lot of money to buy TV time. Unlike Gift of Grace Ministries, but that's another story. We can barely make the radio time. But, you know, when you have money to buy spots on Christian TV, mm-hmm. the network has to say, oh, yeah, well, sure you can have a show if you're going to give us, you know, $1 million or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff gets passed off as basic Christian teaching.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's not that he doesn't, like you were talking about Satan being the great deceiver. This man doesn't come out and say, oh, listen, you know, there's no Trinity. I don't believe in that Trinity stuff. I mean, he never says that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen carefully and you read his background, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deny it.
Right.
And, you know, people watch this. You know, and if you think that once you do the 100, it's not even a 100-yard dash. You don't even have to sweat it.
Yeah.
All you have to do is say, I'm a believer. Here I am, Lord. And I'll start giving me the stuff. You know,
it's basically
what it is. So if you sit home and say, well, you know, we need to remodel our kitchen and I really need a new car and I'd like to put an addition on the house. So let's get to it, Lord.
Yeah. I gave some money last week to the church. Come on. Where's my dividend?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a woman preacher, and I'm not going to mention names because listeners, you have to watch when you listen to these people. You have to discern what they're saying.
Yeah.
So this woman preacher, and again, I won't mention her name, said, and I heard this on the TV, said, well, if God's not going to do anything for you, why would you want to serve him?
Whoa.
And this is on Christian TV. I was horrified.
Wow.
Horrified.
If God's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
She just totally dismissed the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
I mean, yeah, she's talking about material stuff.
That's heresy.
Exactly.
That's flat out heresy. Wow.
And there's very few people to call it for what it is.
I mean, that is minimizing the sacrifice that Christ made to the
Absolutely.
Greatest degree that you ever can.
Absolutely.
Wow. See, I have the ability, I have a TV and I can watch, but I don't have the time to do all that in the daytime. Yeah. But, you know, so being retired is in some ways is a benefit because you're seeing things that you normally wouldn't see.
Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of good stuff too.
Yeah. but when you watch TV, you really have to have a spiritual discerning eye as to what's being portrayed right now, especially in commercials concerning couples.
Yes.
Children.
Yes.
And all this other stuff.
The richest of all the TV evangelists, and I won't mention his name, you can Google it. The richest one I saw, I didn't see it live, but I saw the YouTube of it where he says that, you know, since we're made in God's image, God is a physical being as well as a spiritual being. And he's about 6 feet tall, has blue eyes. Has kind of a muscular build. And I'm sitting there going, what is he talking about? And he went on and on and on describing how since we're made in God's image, we look just like he does. I mean, and millions of people send this guy millions of dollars.
Wow.
I mean, this is what's out there.
Yeah.
And you see people, I mean, you don't see them, but you can imagine people at home going, wow, this guy's really interesting, and sending them a $50 check, a $10 check, a $100 check, $1,000. I mean, the money just rolls in.
Well, it is true that God says, let us create man in our image and likeness. I don't think that pertains to one particular physical appearance.
Yes.
Now, God is a jealous God.
Yes.
He gets angry,
yes.
But he also loves.
Yes.
There's justice, and he also has mercy.
Yes.
You know, those are aspects. God gave us the gift of emotions because that's what makes us human.
Yes.
Just as God has emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more to that than just the physical characteristic of, well, God's going to be 6 feet tall and built like this.
Yeah.
That's pure speculation.
Yeah. And it's hogwash.
Yeah. That's not even biblical teaching.
Yeah. Another guy said, well, you know, Jesus is not the only begotten son of God. We're all begotten sons and daughters of God. And then he paused, a big smile on his face, and the guy who's the host of the show starts clapping, saying, yes, yes, yes. And I'm thinking, no, 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 this is heresy.
Wow.
Jesus is the only begotten son, in Greek, the monogenes. There'll never be anybody like that again. He's the one and only. One with a capital
begotten,
O.
Not made, consubstantial with the Father.
Yes.
Yeah, he needs to go back
This is on TV.
Yeah.
This is on Christian TV. And it reminds me, I like Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, and he made the statement one day that he was at a Christian TV convention,
mm-hmm.
and they had, you know, bookstores set up all over the place. And he walked through, and when he was leaving, he said to somebody, "You would need many dump trucks to haul away all the heresy that's in this place."
Yep.
But we've come to this because people are not grounded, right. Number one. And number two is people don't want to be bothered with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read a passage. I thought we were going to get to it by now, but.
Well, the truth can be very inconvenient.
Exactly.
For what you have planned.
That's right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We all make our plans.
Yeah.
And we like people to tell us things that we want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So when I live in a beautiful suburb and I have a nice big house and I have a nice car and I have a nice job and I hear that God wants me to be rich, what do I say? This is my kind of church. And then when I hear that he also is going to make sure that I'm always healthy, all my health problems are going to be immediately taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do get sick, it's probably because I just haven't had enough faith to stay well. I mean, this is nonsense.
Yeah. And there's the battle that we talked about earlier about the spiritual battle. See, this is what they're not talking about.
Right.
They're not talking about, Jesus says, don't be too concerned about the one who can kill you physically.
Mm-hmm.
Be very concerned about the one who can kill you spiritually.
Yes.
That's the second death. That's eternal damnation in hell because you're not a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what Christ is talking about there. And the one that you need to be afraid of is the devil because he's the one that's going to try and get you to be spiritually dead for all of eternity. And I don't mean be afraid of him in a fearful way, but you have to know how to arm yourself and defend yourself with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as it says in Ephesians, the full armor of Christ.
Yes. And I always like the story in Acts. It might be like 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But when Paul goes to Berea over by the airport, he liked going to Berea because he could fly in, he could do a talk, and then he could fly out.
It's pretty convenient.
Yeah. But when Paul was in Greece, he stopped in Berea. And it's a little bit south of Philippi, and there was a community of Jews living there.
Mm-hmm.
So he stopped there because there was a synagogue, and he was preaching at the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people wanted to hear what he had to say, so he's preaching in an open area. And it says the people were checking the scripture to make sure everything he said was right. And he encouraged them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what scripture did they have? They only had the Old Testament at this point.
Yeah.
But they didn't just say, oh, this guy's interesting. They said, well, let's check this guy out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it says in the Word about this.
Yeah.
And he encouraged them.
Yeah.
Because if you're preaching truth, you don't care if somebody says, oh, I'm going to look that up.
Right. The Bible, the Word of God is going to back
you
up.
If Jesus says, you know, you got to take up your cross every day and follow me. And the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And when you were young, you went wherever you wanted, but now they're going to tie you up and take you places you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And in this life, you will have tribulation, but fear not. I go from that to saying, well, he wants me to be rich. Mm-hmm. He wants me to have it made.
Yeah.
He wants me to be not only healthy, but wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah. You can take the word of Jesus and saying, you know, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean financial wealth.
Yes.
And prosperity. But it does mean life with God.
Amen.
Which is beyond measure.
Wow. Is that the music?
It is.
We didn't get to the scripture version.
Not yet. We'll have to do it next week.
All of you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as we talk about this series, that you would spiritually or pray about spiritual eyesight and hearing, that God would give you wisdom to know what is before you spiritually, and that you can address it through Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.